the deeper life is perfection. The goal of the deeper life is perfection. And I'll probably do this in several parts because there's quite a lot in this and a lot we know, but I think that we need to remind ourselves and go over these principles. But the goal of the deeper life is perfection really tells us all about our walk and what we're destined for. We're not simply just saved, although that is vitally important, but we are moving forward. And that is so important as a believer. You cannot just remain in the same position. You have to move forward with God as the Holy Spirit leads. And in these closing days, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit, which we have experienced, there's a goal, there's a vision, and there's a purpose. We have said so many times, haven't we, that without a vision, my people perish. We are very, very blessed in Full Gospel Assembly. As few as we may be, we have received a vision. We know how God is leading and guiding us for these closing days. We're not just drifting about. We're not just having happy, clappy meetings. We're not just religious on Sunday. This goes far, far deeper. And what I want to share with you over these next few teachings should indeed be our experience as the Holy Spirit unfolds and unravels the walk of perfection that he's working with us. You see, it's so easy that we can get so caught up in everyday activities and the trials that we actually lose sight of the deeper life. And God won't let us lose sight of the deeper life. He's going to remind us that whatever our activities are involved, or whatever the trials we may meet, are all in which to perfect us. There's a vision, there's a goal, there's an aim, there's a purpose to it. It's not just coincidental in the life of an overcomer. Everything, whether great or small, whatever we go through, is for a purpose, perfecting us in the faith and consecration. So we need to know what we're destined for. You see, perfection very much is part of our sonship and our maturity that we were talking about on Sunday. We cannot remain in that state. We have to move on. We have to develop. Nothing can stay static. Even in life, nothing remains static. Everything in many ways is moving forward. We are seeing tremendous breakthroughs in technology, in everything. Everything appears or seems to be better than it used to be even 20 years ago. Or that is the goal and the aim. Well, how much more that in the spiritual, with what God is doing with us. And so our future, our walk as pilgrims passing through in this life is absolutely important. God has made no mistake in leaving you and I still here in which to work in and through us. As we know, it's always for our faith, because our faith is the key to embrace the deeper life and the perfecting work that's being done in our life and character. Without faith, it cannot be done. And this is where you find the separation comes. Many are content to merely be saved and to do their duty and to go to church. But it is few who allow the Spirit to start to perfect, to mature us in our faith, consecration and holiness. This is what sorts it out, brothers and sisters. And this is the goal of the deeper life, which is our perfection. And that is why the Bible shows that we are sanctified. In other words, we possess the new nature, born again, made new, a new creation in Christ. And that new nature that we have not only sanctifies us, sets us apart unto God, and that setting apart to God means holiness, because God is holy. But it's not just that. It's also to mature us. And it is the maturing work that is the goal, that is the race, that is the endurance, that is staying with it, confessing, believing against all odds. It is those things that we encounter as Christians, as overcomers, that is working, perfecting us. And never forget this, brothers and sisters. Always hold on to this, because then it makes sense. Because many times when we go through these things, or we go through these trials, or whatever it is, we just wonder what is happening. Can this be real? Is this really happening? Is this what life is about? Is this what my calling and walking with Jesus is all about? It can be very real. And the enemy, doesn't he amplify it and try to make it so negative? And so if we hold on to this principle, that this is about maturity in my life, which is essential. God requires this. This is what God wants in me and in the church and the overcomers and FGA. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5 and verse 48? Matthew 5 and verse 48, which you all know very well. Here our Lord says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So there we are. Our Saviour himself said, "You shall be perfect." He's not saying you might be or you ought to be. He says, "You shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So we immediately become aware that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus has decreed and said and spoken by. He also was made perfect in his flesh. And he is doing the same likewise with us. Now, this word perfect in the Greek, it means to be complete, or it is a completeness. You could say that Jesus said, "Therefore you shall be complete, just as your Father in heaven is complete, perfect." It means full growth. It means that you have grown up. You have been brought, it's been brought to its end. It's reached the conclusion. It's done. It's finished. I believe the ultimate work of perfection in Jesus' life was his hanging there on the cross, right to the end, when he said, "Father, into thy spirit I commit my spirit into your hands. He endured, he stayed with it right to the end. There was perfection, completeness. He had done the task. And brothers and sisters, God is going to complete where you and I have done the task that glorifies his name. Now, you cannot get your mind into this. The same as with Jesus hanging on the cross. Nothing looked more negative, useless and hopeless than our Saviour hanging there, waiting for death to take over. But look what happened afterwards. The power of the Spirit of God raising him up, triumphing over death and sin and corruption. The perfected work was accomplished. It was done. And this is what God will do through the overcomers and through the bride that's making herself ready, which consists of you and I. So that is the meaning of perfection. It is a completeness. It is brought to its end, a full growth. I'm reminded of the work of the potter who has the clay and he is perfecting that vessel as the master's hands work with the clay. But that pot that he's making, that vessel that he's making, has to come to its completeness for the very purpose that it can be used, that it can be admired, and it can be seen. That's what is the point. In other words, it comes to a finished product. And the Holy Spirit, he's the one that he does this work. And this is achieved through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we know, because this can't be done otherwise. We have to be baptized in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, for this very work to be done. But it's also in this a restoring of ministry, a bringing back of believers under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God again being established in the pulpit, because we know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. A commitment, in other words, discipleship. Putting our hands to that plough and not looking back, but moving forward all the while in faith. And our trials and endurance, remaining with it, staying with it, not running away, which so often we've been tempted to do. But we're here tonight, we're here listening to this teaching by the mercy and grace of God for the very purpose that he wants to perfect us, perfect our faith, that we come to that level of maturity. I know of very, very few that preach this. I've looked, as I prepared this, in some commentaries, some well-known commentaries, listened to some well-forefront teachers on their teaching of Matthew 5:48. And none of them seemed to really understand what perfection means. They always go to the character of Jesus. Jesus was perfect, therefore he has made us perfect, and we shall be like him when we meet him in heaven. It's all what Christ has done, and it's all future what we will be when we get to heaven. But that isn't what Jesus was saying. He was saying this to the multitude. He himself went through this work. It's here on earth that this work is done and is being done within us. This simply reveals again how the Holy, how the church is lacking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God won't let that happen with you or I. He's going to make sure that we're continued to be filled, empowered by the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit working within you and I that indeed can work this perfection, maturity. You see, this perfection of full age is also for the fruit of the Spirit to be developed in our life and walk, which is part of our spiritual growth and moral character. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And you know as well as I do that God working his love, forgiveness, the fruit of the Spirit in our life takes a time. It's a growth. It's not until God sometimes exposes unkindness or that we're just not loving as we should be that we realize we're still a work in progress and that he's working that perfection within us. That is what it means to grow up, to mature into sonship. You see, we come to a place where we see and experience that we lack nothing in Christ. Again, this is vitally important for us to develop, to mature, to come to that place of perfection and completeness, to know that Christ is our all-sufficiency. We have everything. There is nothing else we need or should ever want but Christ who's in us, the hope of glory. You cannot receive anything greater in this life. So why do we seek other things and other means at times? What does it say in James chapter 1 and verse 4? James, the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Here you are. This is what perfection does within us. Perfection is an experience where we are complete, we lack for nothing. In other words, you are blessed. I am blessed. I lack for nothing. Perfection has caused me to experience wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. And that I walk by faith and not by sight. But we know we are a work in progress. And we're ever moving forward and being changed. Have you ever thought or have you ever experienced that when we come together for meetings like this and we come before the Lord's presence and we hear the word of God, when we go away, something has been completed within me. A further work, a further change has happened that didn't happen an hour or 2 hours earlier. These should be our experiences, brothers and sisters. Or what is the point of our meetings and coming together? This is what we should be believing for, that we come, as he says in verse 4, that be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That is what perfection is. Now, it isn't sinless perfection. We know that. We've told you that many, many times over the years. It's a place of consecration. It's a place with God where the Spirit of God has done a completed work in you. In other words, God is satisfied. You've done what he wants. He's able to be able to do that work in your life because you've yielded over to the Spirit and let him do it. That's what it means. We know that it can never be sinless perfection in this life because we know that we can be tempted. We know that we still live in a sinful, fallen world. And we know that we have the blood of Jesus who cleanses if we have fallen short. Not that it's our aim or not that we make an excuse of it. But that is the reality. What does it say in verse 17 of the same chapter, James chapter 1, verse 17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of or shadow of turning. So there we are again, in light of being complete. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That is the Father's heart to you and I. To give, to share those perfect gifts. That is why he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, or in heaven as on earth. We're beginning to experience heaven now on earth. That is what it means. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Perfect light. As he says in 1 John, walk in the light as I am the light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, in the light of God, there is no shadow. Now, of course, that is unheard of in planet Earth, because our light comes from the moon in the night and the sun during the day. And particularly, the sun during the day will always cast a shadow. But not with God's light. There's no shadow. It is perfect, undefiled light. No blemish, no darkness, no shadow, nothing at all. And he says, they are the good gifts, perfect gifts that come from above. That is what he's promised. And that is why we hold, brothers and sisters, to the promises of God's word. Those promises are those gifts from above that he gives to us. What does it say in verse 25 of the same chapter, James 1:25? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And that surely is what the Holy Spirit does. That is why he brings us. That is why we come together. This is why we open the room, so that you can be here and listen to the word of God for this very purpose. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, we know what that word liberty means, to be set free, and continues in it. Here we go. Whatever is happening, whatever's going on in my life, sometimes the word of God is challenging, has my name and address on it, but I continue in it. It is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. In other words, I don't forget it. I ask the Lord to place it in my heart. This one will be blessed in what he or she does. A saint who's perfect or coming, being perfected, being completed, is also someone who is a blessing. And that is what we should be, because of what we're receiving. The very light that we walk in, the very blessings, the gifts that come from above, walking in the perfect light of Almighty God. That is what we are, and we will be. And that is what he's completing within us. He's completing his image, his Son Jesus Christ in us. That is what he's doing. What does it say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us. So our perfection is that we are brought to a fullness, to a growth, to a completeness of God's love here in this life. That agape love, a love that will forgive. Period. No strings attached. That is what he's working. That is the perfection in love. Again, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We know that our faith must work by love, as it's not going to glorify God. So, we believe that this is being achieved by the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing the Word. And we know this well, don't we, in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And let's read it from verse 12, because this is what you've been brought out from. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so perfection can only be achieved by going on to the solid food of the word of God, because it brings you to full age. And that is why the word of God is so essential, brothers and sisters. And this is what breaks my heart, that so few behind pulpits see this or teach this. And this is why there's such a lack of maturity and love and fellowship in a lot of assemblies. And that's why they get so busy doing religious works, living in many ways like the world. As I've said so often, the most busiest people are the most unspiritual, sadly. And it isn't to say that we are not to help. It isn't to say where we see there's a need, we are to help. All of that is essential. But the difference being is, it is led by the Spirit. It is God doing it through you, because you walk in the light. And this has come as a result that you have solid food. You come to that full age for the purpose that their senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. That is your discernment that God is giving you in these last days. Few come to that place where they can discern good and evil. And this may mean that it's not necessarily always finding scripture, but that you have a discernment to know what spirit is in operation. Whether that is the spirit of God or the spirit of man, or it is a demon that's working. There are generally three areas that we discern in all of this. Is this the Holy Spirit? Is this God? Or is this just the spirit of man, his flesh, his zeal? Or is this demonic? You discern this. And tragically, this is what lacks in the house of God. But you haven't been taught that, because you have been placed and given the solid food for the purpose of perfection, completeness. That is why God speaks to you and I in the manner that he does. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, great insight to this. Verse 11 of chapter 4, which you know very well. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. For the purpose that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And of course, he then fills the whole body, the joints, and knits it all together and so on. There it is. That is the work God's doing through us. This is why the goal of the deeper life is perfection, completeness. And we must never, ever lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. And finally, we know so well Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. You present yourself, your whole being, as that living sacrifice on the altar, which verse 1 tells us to do. We've talked many, many times on it, but it isn't just to stay there, it is for a purpose. God receiving you as that living sacrifice, you know if you've been received, because verse 2 starts to become your experience. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't live like the world, act like the world. You're separated from it. But be transformed. That means a working, a transformation. It's a working, the same as he's working perfection, completeness in us. And he does this by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is being renewed. This is why, again, it's so important to have the meat of the word, to come under the unction, the anointing, for the very purpose that it renews your mind. It sets in motion deliverance to your mind. Because that is where the enemy had access. That's where he held you and controlled you. And that is why you have now the mind of Christ. For the purpose that you may prove or discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is all God wants from the overcomers. Those who are perfecting completeness is that they do not accept any substitute, only the perfect will of God. Now, we hear a lot of people say the perfect will of God, and you know, we hear Christians say, oh yes, the perfect will of God, but when the perfect will of God is started to be accomplished, they run a mile. They resist. They fall out with God. But you see, verse 1, presenting yourself, your whole body, your whole being as a living sacrifice, is for that purpose, for the perfect will of God to be accomplished in your life and my life. And he's doing it and will do it. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. That is why we believe in the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. This is why we don't question. When God is working his perfect will in and through us, we have learnt over the years that God working his will always looks contrary, always looks the opposite to how the world is and acts and believes. God works completely the opposite in our lives from the world, its destiny, its future, and where it's going. Because you are not a part of it. You've been called out from it. In other words, the world doesn't hold you anymore. It doesn't control you or bribe you or trick you. Because that's what the world does. Everything around us, when we go to work, when we go to the shops, or we go out or whatever it is, it's tricking us, it's bribing us, it's lying to us. That's why you don't trust it, you don't believe it. Now, it's not to say that you can't have a nice meal out somewhere in a restaurant or have a vacation, but you don't trust in it. You don't rely upon it. That is the point. We all use a car, and cars are very useful, and they take us from A to B. And we trust God that our cars will run and get us there, and that we will be kept safe on the roads and everything. But we don't trust it, not in the sense as an industry, as a commercial industry. No, we don't. But we can use it. The same as we're using the internet. You see, God uses everything for his glory. But our life, our heart, isn't in it. And that is the whole point. That is the deliverance. That is the change. And it's for the very purpose that the perfect will of God can be done, can be accomplished. And that is why it can't be done so much in a lot of these churches and everything. Because they love the world still too much. They rely too much upon it. And this is why God is weaning us away from trusting in the arm of the flesh. Because we know it will let us down. But he's still working that one, isn't he? And what is he rooting out of us still? That fear that causes us still to do it. So there is the perfecting work, the completed work, the full growth. That is what he's doing with us. That is why the goal of the deeper life is perfection, brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you today for speaking to us. Thank you again for reminding us of the deeper life. Lord, thank you for the meat of the word that's causing us to grow and mature, that is giving us discernment, enabling us to do the perfect will of God, to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Oh, Father, we thank you for this. I thank you for the meeting this evening. Father, we especially pray for our sister Mary Louise. We confess the blood of Jesus over her, and that by the stripes of Jesus Christ she was healed at Calvary. And when you rose from the dead and raised triumphant to the right hand of the Father, where all power and authority and dominion is under your feet, Father, we pray that for her as well, and also for her family also at this time. And so, Lord, we thank you for our meeting. I pray you'll bless all the saints through this coming week until we assemble again. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live and he shall find.